Hey, fighters, before we get started with today's episode, I want to invite you to text the two words contractor fight to 877-807-1740 and get more connected to what we have going on here to help you build a better business. 877-807-1740 and the two words contractor fight.
You should absolutely be telling people what you do and why you do it. You talk a lot about this in the 100K group about establishing yourself as your area's industry expert in what you're doing. It's a huge golden opportunity, and there's not a lot of guys doing it at all.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go.
Fighters! I'm excited today to bring to you on the Contractor Fight podcast, my good buddy Joe Everest. He is the owner of Ozark Fence. He's also got a YouTube channel that we'll put the links in here too that he talks about in the end of our talk today. But I wanted to have Joe on. He's been part of some of our programs in the fight here for the past year and a half or so. He's doing some amazing things. Not only is he learning a lot and growing his business, but he has been such a resource for other members. Guy runs a rocking business, high profit, high revenue fence company, and he's always one to share his insights and mentor guys and things like that. So anyway, today we talk about some of the challenge he was facing as a business, how he overcame some of those things. He gives some advice on how to convert your sales a little bit better and a bunch of stuff. So I'm super excited to introduce you guys to my buddy Joe. And with that, we'll get rocking. And listen, if you hear something today on this show that makes you want to move a little bit faster and get some help in your business and check out some of our programs, I want to encourage you to text the word WIN, W-I-N, text the word WIN to 877-807-1740. You'll get on about a 10, 12-minute phone call with one of our fight members here to see if we can help you get where you want to get in your business. So anyway, I'm going to shut my damn mouth. And without further ado, here is my buddy Joe Everest. Joe, welcome to the fight. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, my man, it's so good to see you. I'm glad we got to connect.
So you're either sporting your own brand apparel right now, or you're getting ready to go hunting. Which is it?
Why can't it be both? Yeah, no, this is a hat we did. So Ozark Fence is my main brand, but we're a minor league marketing partner with the Springfield Cardinals. So they're an affiliate. They're a AAA to the St. Louis Cardinals baseball franchise.
Cool.
So we did a little marketing co-op with them. Gave I think 3,000 or 4,000 of these things away.
Well, that's awesome, man.
I still see them bumping around town.
Do you?
That's
cool.
Two summers ago.
You know, what's funny is I've been traveling from time to time, and every now and then I'll run into somebody who's wearing an FWT shirt or a Contractor Fight shirt. Yep. And they'll usually come up to me and they open up like their hoodie and they show me their shirt. It's hilarious. They're like, Reber, what's up? You know, I'm like, hey. Cool when you see somebody sporting your shit, right?
Yeah. Every time I see one of these hats, I say out in the wild, I'm like, hey, can we snap a picture real quick? Like, it sounds totally weird, but like, I like that we have matching hats. And so it just happened over the weekend. And the guy's like, yeah, sure. We took a picture. He goes, where'd you get your hat? I was like, cool. I own the fence company that gave these things away.
Yeah, I'm the guy. That's awesome.
But, yeah.
So, before we dig in, and it's funny we went right into marketing because that's you and I, isn't it? Like, we go right to fucking marketing. Let's give everybody just a quick overview. Who you are, what do you do, whatever, you know, you want to share about the business, just to give people some context here.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. So, my name's Joe Everest. I'm the third generation owner of Ozark Fence Company. We're obviously a fencing installer, a fencing contractor in the Springfield, Missouri area. We've been installing fence since 1955. So it was my granddad's brother-in-law that started it. And my granddad bought it. My dad bought it from him. I bought it from my dad back 2016.
All right. How many fences you put in a year?
A lot, approximately.
A lot.
Well, no. We've got a residential side, a commercial side, and we also do repairs. So that number is always hard to keep a really firm hold on. You know, we can do, you know, 4 to 6 residential fences in a week. Commercial, it depends on the size. So one a week or one in 3 weeks if it's a good sized one. Repairs, we can knock out a dozen of those things a week. So it's always kind of a moving number.
All right, cool. So I had you on because there's some certain things from my point of view, I've known you for a while now, that I think you're totally kicking butt on that people need to hear. But I also know, you know, you have this family business, multi-generation. You took it over in 2016. Before we get into some of this specific stuff here today and advice you might have for other contractors and things like that, what were some of the challenges that were going on that caused you to get in touch with the fight? And tell us how you found us. Like, were you on YouTube one day, or what was it?
No, so I actually found you through another podcast. I found you through
Caleb. That's
through
right.
Caleb's podcast. Yeah,
Caleb Stain Roth. Seal Experts. Yep. Stain and Seal Experts. Yeah, he's a good dude.
He absolutely great guy. You know, he and I connect on a lot of levels. Just our family situation as far as being in a family business and all. So you know, we've been having very good growth. You know, I mean, we're in the middle of a really great economy. So, you know, no one ever knows when the music's going to end, but, you know, so I was looking at our charts and seeing revenue that just kept increasing year on year, you know, 30 to 35% a year. But I'd always read, you know, this thing's like a roller coaster, you know, and not necessarily the economy, but business in general, you know, you'll ride it to the top and then maybe you stagnate and you make some changes and then you dip a little bit and then you hit another hill and up you go. But so I heard you on Caleb's and it really resonated with what you were talking with him about. So I jumped over to your podcast, listened to a few of them. And all the while that's turning in the back of my mind, hey, we're on an uphill climb here on a roller coaster, but I don't want to go down. I don't want to stagnate, but I certainly don't want to go down. So you and I connected on a phone call. I don't know, maybe after I listened to a couple weeks of your podcast. I did the typical thing where I found your podcast and I downloaded like every episode.
Yeah.
And it took me like a good couple weeks to chew through all of them. But at the end of that, I'm like, you know, I need to connect with this Tom guy. Just because I didn't want to, you know, stagnate or slide back.
Well, dude, you've been a you're one of those people I call that's a like a tall, cool drink of water for me. And what I mean by that, not in a weird way.
I'd love to hear this stuff.
But what I mean is like you're refreshing to work with because you implement, you track, you have your shit together. And it's not like pulling teeth to get you to do some of the things that you need to do to move the needle forward. And I'm just curious, like, as I remember that phone call, I was pacing around my front foyer of my office here when I was talking to you. Yeah. And it was in between shooting videos because I had Dakota here. We were shooting videos and I was like, I got this guy's info came through and I picked the phone up and I called you. And so like, what are some of the good things that have happened in the last year and a half or whatever it's been? Like what was maybe a before and after of something in the business that somebody might resonate with here?
Yeah. You know, we've always done a good job at tracking, you know, what I would call a good job of tracking our numbers. But after chatting briefly with you and you gave me a couple, you know, worksheets to get through and, hey, do you know this, that, and the other? And I realized, hey, we had numbers, but they weren't as dialed in. They weren't as specific. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew where leads were coming from, but I didn't know like on a weekly or monthly basis exactly how many of them came in from which exact source and how much did we pay for each exact lead. You know, I had a good feeling. You know, I knew the phone rang and I knew roughly where it came from. But yeah, so really dialing in the numbers to know, you know, we spend you know, X amount on Facebook each month, and we can attribute so many leads. So that means cost per lead. But then also we track it through the customer journey. So we can tell you, you know, a Facebook lead on average nets, you know, roughly a $4,800 to $5,000 sale. I never knew that before. You know, I knew it worked, but I never tracked it through the entire journey. So that was a major game changer for us. You know, and Tom, it's hard to answer the question specifically when you say, you know, tell me, you know, some benefits, because really, you know, I don't know the pitfalls that I avoided. You know what I mean? Like, just in chats, here's how I kind of view this. You know, a lot of large corporations have advisory boards, you know, or board of directors, or I mean, call it whatever you want.
Yep.
I mean, small businesses don't have that luxury of putting together 5, 6, 10 industry leaders in a room and talking out their problems. I mean, they just don't have that available. I really view the contractor fight in general, but you specifically, as kind of that advisory board on, you know, hey, this is what's going on in my business right now. What are your thoughts? Kind of getting your impressions and your point of view on it. You know, also so right around when I joined up, we had a really in-depth talk on CRMs.
Yeah.
The CRM I was using at the time just really wasn't that in-depth. It was more of a project management software than a CRM. So, you know, you help guide me through that. Avoided some pitfalls through there, I'm sure. So, I mean, key takeaways are, I mean, you helped me with my number. I mean, you're driving force. I'm sure everyone that listens and watches you knows. I mean, you're all about numbers. Mm-hmm. You got to know your numbers before you start making any sort of noticeable impact. So you really helped us get in control of knowing exactly, you know, down to the dollar where customers come from and what they're worth.
So, and I appreciate that, man. It means a lot. I'm coming off this cold and my voice is still fried here a bit. You shared about knowing your cost per lead, where the leads are coming from, what turns into work and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of contractors have a really, really hard time with this lead tracking thing. Like, they fight it, man. I get so much pushback because, oh, it takes a lot of time. It's hard to do. I don't have a process in place, whatever. And I'm just curious, what are some of the benefits of having that information? Because it's one thing to go, you need to track it. But a lot of times people will ask me, "Why? What do I do with this information? How is having that information made your business better, or your life easier in some way?"
Yeah, you know, it gives you a more complete picture and a more detailed picture of exactly, you know, if we're talking about marketing, you know, exactly how those marketing dollars are performing, you know, and you really have to track it throughout the journey, meaning that, you know, not really keeping track so much of how many, I mean, you want to know how many dollars makes a phone ring per marketing channel. But if it makes the phone ring for customers that aren't a good fit, then those are probably negative ad dollars. You know, not only did you spend the dollar, but you wasted it on someone that wasn't going to turn into a great fit for your customer, for your company. You know, and also, and maybe the lead source, if you know lifetime value of the customers that come through that given lead source, maybe that lead source generates a lot of leads and they convert well, but they're low ticket conversions.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't the customers that typically you're able to upsell into a different system. Or they're one time and gone. You know, they're not lifetime customers, they're transactional customers. So getting very granular on numbers helps you understand, you know, for us, it really helped us understand Facebook is incredible for our business because the leads that come in, one, they convert, and two, their average ticket per customer is higher than any other lead source. So on average, they spend more dollars the first time they interact, and they also become lifetime customers. You know, more than three interactions is kind of our definition. But we only know that because we are super granular with our numbers, because we take now this isn't something you do in 5 minutes. You know, this is a time commitment, but it's absolutely worthwhile when you can go to one of your other marketing partners and say, "Listen, I know you guys are great, and I know you reach a bunch of people. Unfortunately, it's not a good fit for my business, you know, at the price point that we're talking about, whether it's any other media source." I don't want to single any of them out, because people understand also different media sources and different markets work for different businesses. So, you know, what might work for, you know, radio might work for this contractor in Houston. It might not work for any, you know, another one in New England. You know, it's, yeah. It can vary, but anyway, it gives us more information when we go into a meeting to say, you know, we had a conversation with a marketing channel, and they actually were coming with a price increase. And I said, well, that's interesting. Not only are we not paying the price increase, we're actually not moving forward at all just because the leads you're bringing in. They say, well, we're making your phone ring. Yeah, you absolutely are. The problem is they're low converting, so they're not quality phone calls. And the ones that are converting are one time and done, and they're super low. The ticket total line items are super low.
Yeah.
So the ones that are converting are still not our ideal customers. Mm. So, you know, and that saved us on the tune of something like $15,000 or $20,000 a year that we would have marketed with them if we only judged it by how many calls we got in a month.
Yeah, there's so many levels of this lead and sales tracking for guys like, you know, the more advanced stuff. Like, you know, I work with people and we used to do this. We not only would track how many leads per source, obviously, but then how many sales per source, because like yep. In your case here, if I get 100 leads from something, but nothing converts, right? My closing rate blows. I got a problem there. And then later on, we got into doing things like, you know, this is as you get a little more in your groove with tracking and processes in place and job costing. We actually started doing gross profit per lead source.
There you go.
You know, and, you know, we had other factors we had pain in the ass factors, you know, like on a PETA score, the pain in the ass, you know, what's the A stand for? Pain in the ass. It's ass.
Yeah.
PETA. Okay. Duh. The PETA, like a scale of 1 to 5, like if this is a 5, I don't, and you could filter it by those lead sources. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. Then when those leads come in, you just know to charge more. Because if you get this thing, so anyway, there's so many different levels of this. I just want to encourage everybody to just start, you know, like, you know, you and I both know Derek Johnson, one of my partners. And, and Derek started with a spiral notebook many years ago. He just had a spiral notebook. Somebody would call and he'd just take some information down and then he would like screenshot it and send it to me and goes, hey, what do you think? Like, you got to start somewhere. Yeah. And
the first step is the most important step. You know, and it's this conversation can get into so many others, but, you know, done is better than perfect.
Absolutely.
You know, get started is better than, now listen, and I'm guilty of this in so many ways, but I really want to make sure whether it's a new product offering or anything that we get it right the first time and we're not rolling this out until it's just right, you know, and we probably lose on a new product offering. We probably lose 6 months.
Yeah.
Just because I want to make sure it's right. And that's something I'm coming to see, you know, just folks like you and other guys that keep around me just to bounce things. I'm like, hey, have you rolled that out yet? No, not yet. Like, what are you doing? Like, well, we got to get this one more training because I really want to, like, dude, get out there. Get it. You know, you lost 6 months.
Yeah. It's you got to fire. What is it? Fire then aim.
Yeah.
Pull the trigger, you know.
Yeah. Ready, shoot, aim. Yeah.
Yep. The highest achievers take control of their thoughts and their actions, and that's why we created the Fight Planner. Every day you're bombarded by tens of thousands of thoughts, and most of them are negative. You're also given many choices to how to spend your time, and unfortunately, we allow ourselves to get hijacked throughout the day, and the result is we underachieve and we don't hit our goals. The Fight Planner is a tool to help you control just that, your thoughts and your actions, because those are really the only things that we do have control over. When you are intentional in these areas, you're going to move closer to your goals faster. So I want to invite you right now, if you want to dial your shit in, head to thecontractorfight.com/fight-planner. Contractorfight.com/fight-planner and get your copy today. Let's see here. I've got a couple notes that I have here. And I guess as we bring it home, at the top of this, before we hit record, I was going to ask you to give advice to somebody as a contractor, but I'm actually going to take it to a different level. So here you go, man. I'm going to throw a curveball at you, but you're going to be just fine. I'm going to ask you to give advice in one, because you've been part of our programs now for quite a while. So I'm going to ask you to give one pick one of these areas to give advice on.
Okay.
First is attracting customers. The second would be converting customers. And the third area would be delivering your service or product. So which one of those areas would you want to just give, attract, convert, or deliver some advice to a contractor here today who might be listening to this?
Okay, so I'll give you my choice and then I'll clarify. So it's going to be converting.
Okay.
And the only reason is, now attracting is absolutely the first step. But that's what you always say. Sales is oxygen. If you don't have sales, you're going to end up choking. So I think you cover that really well. You know, you got to get leads at the top of your funnel if you want them to come at the bottom. But I'd like to talk more about middle of the funnel. In this instance would be conversions. You know, it's wild. And Tom, you did this for us, is you provided a spreadsheet that said, hey, you know, here's your sales breakdown, which I already had a pretty good idea. But one thing it did is it had a little box is conversion rate. You know, what's your 35% conversion ratio or rate? Okay. What happens if you tweak that to 38%? You're like, well, I don't know, Tom, that's like 3%. You're like, well, just plug it in and see. Well, 3% is not a tiny number, you know, when you're dealing with annual revenues, you know, and so that was a moment where I kind of sat and went, this is our next step. Okay. This is where, you know, the conversions are important because, you know, I've been guilty of skipping the conversions. I just take it for granted. Hey, we're 35% conversions and that sounds pretty good to me. If I want X amount more revenue, I know I need to dump so many more leads up top. And then it rolls through that conversion at 35% and then it rolls out at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't take the time to sit and think about, okay, well, Joe, if we bump it from 35 to 40%, we're actually exceeding what you were trying to do anyway. So rather than try to go find a bunch more potential leads, which in any given market, those leads are, they're a finite number. You know, there are only so many of your perfect potential customers. Now, granted, you know, in a market, so I live in Southwest Missouri, our metro market's 150,000 or so. There's a lot of potential clients.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's only so many though. So, but if we tweak conversions, then we can really have a noticeable impact. And if we tweak conversions and add leads to the top, now we're cooking with pure fire.
Yeah.
So conversions are hugely important, you know, and I think a lot of it for us came to sales process, you know, not having a dialed in repeatable sales process.
Yeah.
I learned from my dad by riding around in the truck and watching him sell.
Right.
He learned from his dad by riding around in his truck and watching him sell. And that's not scalable. You know, I learned, you know, be a people person and, you know, how to come to their level and understand what their needs are. And I learned all that, but I'm not good at teaching that, you know, and ride around with me on my truck and learn from me is not a great sales process. And actually that's an area that we're still constantly improving on is the best sales presentation, you know, how to present it, you know, in a way that the customer understands. You know, that's part of anybody's problem is, you know, you hear this all the time. Hey, my customers say I'm overpriced. Mm-hmm. You know, they say we're too expensive. Okay, somebody has to be that way.
Right.
You know, if you only have three of you in one market, one of you has to be cheapest and one of you has to be most expensive. I mean, that's just how it happens. So someone's going to be more expensive. It might as well be you because typically that equals better margins. But a lot of times when people are telling you that you're too expensive and that someone else can do it cheaper, from my point of view, I haven't done a great job explaining to them that the value that I'm getting ready to give them.
Right.
You know, and I do fence. That should be pretty straightforward. Mr. Miss Customer, we're going to keep your dogs in, going to keep your kids in, going to keep bad people from grabbing your kids, whatever the pain point is. But then we're just talking about a commodity. And we weren't talking about customer experience. We weren't talking about our communication systems. We weren't talking about service after the sale. We weren't talking about any of that.
Yeah.
And when we started implementing those pieces, it started making more sense to the customer why we were more expensive. Now, listen, we still get that call. I mean, we're getting closer to 40%, but that means there's still 60% of the people that are saying, right, get out of here,
yep,
you know, and it's going to happen. You know, if your rate is 75-80%, you might not be priced correctly, you know, for most sales systems. Now, we both know people that their conversion rates, they track them a little bit differently, and their conversion rates are 100%. Mm-hmm. That's a different conversation.
But it is, and I want to clarify that for anybody watching or listening to this, is one of the things we track in our Sales Academy is the closing rate when you get in your truck and go physically see somebody. That's really the thing that matters. And we have many members and stuff that are 100%, 98%, this and that, that every time they go out, they get a deposit check, and that's because of the process that gets them there. So I just want to clarify that for anybody that's listening. The other 100%. Piece of this conversion rate that a lot of guys don't understand is that sheet that you were talking about where you plugged in the 38% or whatever it was. We have some other boxes on that sheet that you can tweak. Like, you could go, well, what would happen if I bracketed it, my price is at 5% higher, or even 10%. We've seen this a lot with people. Their prices will go way up. Their closing rate will go down, but they'll end up making $100,000 more because they're only selling to the right types of clients, because the average job size has gone up in conjunction with a 2% improvement in lead flow and an X percent improvement in gross profit. And we've even seen a closing rate go down, which is not always a bad thing, depending on these other factors.
Yeah. You know, that's important to note, Tom, that there's not one lever that you pull or push that has a direct impact. You know, there's 100 levers that at the same time you're pushing and pulling and tweaking but at the end of the day, you should be most concerned with the bottom number, your net income.
Yeah.
You know, so how can I get my net income to go up? If that's what you're wanting to do.
Right.
You know, some people are in different places in their business where they're saying, well, my net income's exactly where I need it to be. I just want to work less. That's a completely different conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of the people that I see both in the group and just in different groups that I'm in are in the, you know, they're in the stage in their business where they were the contractor themselves. They wore the tool belt, but they were really good at it. And a lot of people asked them to come do their projects. Mm-hmm. So now they need to take the tool belt off and put on a management belt, you know? That's kind of the conversation I'm having is, that conversation is a lot different than a guy that's, you know, ready to retire or whatever.
Sure.
You know, that's, conversion rates are huge. You know, they are absolutely huge. If you can get more people to say yes, then you end up with more money at the bottom, you know, with this similar marketing spend.
That's so conversion stuff, rates are huge. Cool. I appreciate you sharing that. So as we wrap up, two things, share a little bit about Ozark Fence, where people can find you, but then also I'd like you to take a minute. You got a little something going on YouTube now. Sure. So share with us what you have going on there before we let you go here today.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, our business is Ozark Fence. We're based in Springfield, Missouri. Website's pretty straightforward, ozfence.com. You can jump on there and see what we're about. But more importantly, if folks are wanting to reach out to me directly, so I do have a YouTube channel. It's Joe Everest, the Fence Expert. So what I'm doing with the channel is explaining my process, our process, you know, how we did a video the other day on Friday. We recorded a bunch of videos, and one of them was, you know, how do you space the post? There's three main styles. Which one do I prefer? Why do I prefer it? What other options are available? Or do you need to have a lot surveyed before you build a fence? Or, you know, where we try to answer our customers' most frequently asked questions before they answer them.
Yep.
Which that's market shared, and, you know, that's they ask, you answer.
Right.
I'm just kind of taking that in a little bit different direction. You know, the answers are definitely applicable to what Ozark Fence does. But YouTube's reach is much greater than Springfield, Missouri. You know, so I've got a friend named Roger Wakefield. He's the expert plumber. He's out of the Dallas area, and he does this really well on his YouTube channel. And he said, Joe, listen, I started where you're starting now, trying to answer my customers' questions. You know, that way you can put a link in an email, and it's a really good follow up. 100%. That's exactly what we're doing. He said, but what I realized was there's people from Idaho and people from Washington State and people from Europe that were watching my videos and commenting on it. So then I had to take a little bit different stance, like, oh, okay, well, maybe I don't give, you know, Ozark fence answers. Maybe I give fence, you know, a fence professional's answers, so more people can get use out of the content.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're doing there. Joe Everest, the fence expert. Yeah.
That's awesome. And the bottom line is you're establishing yourself as the expert. We've talked a lot about that. And what we didn't get into today was the fact that you're a pretty damn good marketer. And so it didn't surprise me when you started your own YouTube channel and started educating. And I know, like we have here, you'll kind of start navigating and figuring it out as you go along, what resonates with people. And but that's good stuff. Well, dude,
yeah, we learned that in Facebook, in that So we were one of the only fence contractors to market in a dedicated way on Facebook. And we started getting, you know, really good feedback. And then I realized, I was like, well, now, wait a minute. That's because no one else is doing it. Yeah. You know, we kind of win by default. You know, we still need to put out good content. We still need to, you know, be good at what we're doing, but you know, no one else is talking about it. And so I see that same opportunity in YouTube, not necessarily only in fence, but you know, in electrical and roofing and whatever. You know, that would be probably a little golden nugget here, is if someone out there that's listening or watching, if you're comfortable being in front of camera and understand, comfortable doesn't mean that you're super polished and everything's super right. Great. No. If you're okay, if you don't get just absolute stage fright sitting in front of a camera and talking, you should absolutely be telling people what you do and why you do it. You talk a lot about this in the 100K group, about establishing yourself as your area's industry leader or industry expert in what you're doing. And you know, it's a huge golden opportunity. In home service in general, there's not a lot of guys doing it at all.
Well, amen to that. And that's where the opportunity is, man. And this is, what I love about the things you're doing and things we do here, we coach people to do 100K and stuff, is that we're teaching them what they call evergreen strategies, right? Things that are going to last. Like, educating people and positioning yourself as the expert will never go out of style. Now, how we deliver it could totally change. There could be a new Facebook or a new type YouTube or whatever someday, right? We don't know. Things come and go, but the strategy, the overall marketing strategy that we pretty much make the foundation of all our marketing stuff in the fight that we coach is really comes down to being the best educator. And
yeah, you know, it's all about adapting. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the largest brands in the world were the ones that were able to figure out how to adapt from radio to television.
Yeah.
You know, they adapted their marketing message. You know, and that's, why did we pick Facebook? Because that's where our customers were and there wasn't a lot of competition. You know, we're on YouTube for the same reason, but maybe next year it's, you know, TikTok's kind of an up and comer. Maybe TikTok's where it's at. So maybe we should start doing content there because our customers are there and our competition isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, does radio still work? Yeah. Television still works. Billboard still works. Sure.
Everything works.
But they're saturated. Yeah.
Everything works. Everything still works. You just got to figure it out for you and it may not be a fit for you and that's okay.
Does the price of that thing jive with what you can afford to pay for a customer?
Yep.
If so, beautiful. Do it. Mm-hmm. But understand that those are saturated. You know, people are figuring that. I mean, we do radio and television. We do it. Mm-hmm. But our competition's already there too. So it's a little bit of a competition with them on marketing message and everything else. But, you know, when we're on Facebook and especially when we're on YouTube, we kind of get to be our own person.
Right.
We get to do our own thing because our competition just isn't showing up.
Well, it's nice when you're the only one in the contest, isn't it?
you get to set the rules.
Yep.
You know, you get to set the expectations. That's one thing we're really good at, is setting customer expectations on, you should expect this, this, and this from your contractor. And if they don't provide that, you should probably wonder why. And it just so happens that Ozark Fence offers all those things, you know.
Yeah.
And understand, it's not tricky stuff. It's
no
workman's comp insurance. It's, you know, it's stuff like that. But you get to set the tone of the conversation if you're the only one in that marketplace. Great thing about YouTube is it's free. You know, yep. I mean, there's add-ons and third-party programs and all that. Sure. But you can absolutely take your phone, point it at your face and record a video and upload that to YouTube right now for free.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I've had Chris Berry on here, who's the Idaho painter from Paint Life TV.
I watch him a lot.
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine, and I interviewed him a couple years ago here on The Fight, and I want to say he started in 2006 making his first how to paint a room video. And him and I talked off air, and I think people will be blown away by how much of an impact him being an educator in that industry has had on his business, his life, and quite literally millions of people. Like, he's helping a crazy amount of people, even if they never stroke a check and hire his painting company, right? He's helping people, and that's where trust is built. And that's a whole different conversation that we don't have time for here today. But anyway, yeah. Joe, you rock. And we got to roll here in a second. But guys, hit ozfence.com, right?
Yep, ozfence.com.
And then Joe's YouTube channel. We'll put the links to both in the show notes.
If anybody's got questions, whatever, they can reach me either through the website or through the YouTube page. Mm-hmm. My email is also joe@ozfence.com. Come straight to my phone. I'm more than happy to help however I can.
Good stuff, buddy. Well, I appreciate you being here, man.
Of course.
All right, my friends, thanks for hanging out in the fight with us today. If you're a contractor that is looking to get some help in your business and you want to move a little faster and look at some of the programs we have, you can actually set up a super quick 10-minute call with somebody on our team here in the fight to just see what we have for you. You could text the word WIN, W-I-N, WIN, to 877-807-1740. It'll take you to a schedule link, and we'll have a short conversation and see if we can help you kick some ass as you build your business. All right, you guys rock. I got to roll. Travis, rock us out with the guitars. We'll see you guys next time on The Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of The Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight, and our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.